Welcome to the Wish I Would Have Known podcast. I'm Clint.
And I'm Amber. And we've been married for almost 20 years.
And in this 20 years, we've gained a lot of wisdom and found ourselves in the middle of some pretty crazy stories.
And now we want to share those things with you.
So here's some stuff that we wish we would have known.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Wish I Would Have Known.
Welcome, guys.
Man, we're excited that you're here. If this is your first time, this is a podcast where Amber and I...
If this is your first time,
yeah.
Spoiler alert, this is a podcast.
Oh, man. They're like, what?
I had no idea. What I was listening to.
I can't see anything. This is ridiculous. So this is a podcast where Amber and I talk about some things that we wish we would have known. We have some awesome guests that share some of those things. And today's guest... Super, super stoked about.
We are super, super stoked.
Super, like double, double supers, double super stoked.
Mm-hmm.
Today's guest is our good friend, Cameron Dicker. Cam, woo-hoo! What's up?
Hello, hello. How are you guys?
We're good, man. All right. So Cameron Dicker, if you guys don't know, goes by another alias that most people know him by. And it's, what is it, Amber?
It is Dicker the Kicker.
Dicker the Kicker.
Oh, yeah, baby.
In the house. And here, all right, so I'm going to jump straight into this because I got to know. So I've heard that the lore behind Dicker the Kicker is that there was a middle school teacher that came up with this. Is this true?
Yep. Mr. G, my science teacher, I think it was seventh grade.
Okay, so you were already kicking at this point?
When I first started kicking.
All right, so here's what I don't get. You're out there, you're in middle school, little Cameron Dicker out there in middle school, he's kicking. At no point did you go, wait a daggum minute. My name is Dicker, and I am now a kicker. Did you like influence this to Mr. G in some way?
I don't think so. I don't really ever remember like it starting, but he's claimed it. And I'm giving it to him.
Give the guy his props. With it, yeah. I feel like if I was Billy Hunter and someone's like, hey, man, can you kick a football? I'd be like, I can punt it. Hey, I'm Hunter the Punter at this point. I feel like if I played goalie and my name was Jim Foley, I would want people to call me Foley the goalie.
So you're saying that your last name dictates what your profession should be? Is that what you're saying right now?
I think. I mean, in Cameron's case, so when you started playing football, you were what?
No lineman. Started left guard.
No way.
Yep. Were you like...
You hated it.
Were you big?
A little bit. Like, I wasn't huge, but, I mean, I have some funny pictures of me as a middle schooler, so bigger kid.
Dude, that's hilarious. Yeah. So you were O-lineman, hated it, and you're like, how can I get away from this contact?
Yeah, I said, how can I stop playing this? And then I started kicking. At one point, I was like, I'm just good to walk away. And so I told the coaches, hey, I'm either kicking or I'm done. And they were like, well, you're our starting O-lineman, so we'd like to keep you around. And then... had a little competition with a kid I was in band with, and the two of us competed to who wouldn't play because neither of us wanted to play.
Listen, all right, for the brand here.
Oh, gosh.
For the brand, you're telling me that two band kids were the only ones that wanted to kick the football.
No, this was at O-line. This is at left guard.
Oh, gotcha. Oh.
This is at left guard. We were the two left guards.
So that was
me
it.
Me and another O-line kid. Me, two tromboners.
Two tromboners.
Oh, my God.
Two tromboners. On the line.
How good was this middle school team? Do you remember what the record was that you guys?
We were pretty good. I think we lost one game.
It's impressive.
Yeah.
I love. All right. So Dicker the Kicker, he's got the name. It sticks now.
Yeah.
But if your last name did dictate what your profession had to be.
So what's Hudson? What would you do?
Hudson. I don't know. What is it? Construction? Hudson does construction.
Hudson does. That doesn't really rhyme.
It
kind of rhymes.
It's close. Hudson does corruption.
Hudson's corruption.
Hudson's corruption.
So
yeah.
So
I'm a politician, which actually I was a political science major.
Yeah.
You were. I was heading towards Hudson's corruption.
When we met, you were working at the State House. So.
This is very true.
Mm-hmm.
This is very true. That's crazy. All right. So Cameron just finished his rookie season in the NFL. Man, such a crazy story. We're going to go into it just a little bit. He had plenty of different stops. Didn't finish on the team that he started on. Finished in the same city that you started in.
Yep.
Right? Yep. And so all over the place. So take us down the journey. Just real quick, like highlights as far as which teams you actually ended up playing for this year.
Okay. So started undrafted, went to the Rams, played in the preseason week one after like 3 months of training there, did really well. Cut day was that Tuesday. I was asleep laying in bed and I got a phone call and I was like, I wonder who this is. Picked up and they said, hey, you need to come meet with the GM and head coach.
Oh.
I was like, okay, I'm cut. Thanks. So drove in there. It's a sad drive.
Oh,
and
man.
Then went over to a beach house and hung out for a couple days in California.
So not all bad.
Not all bad because my parents were already there waiting for our next game. So they were like, well, we're just going to hang out.
Oh, so and now they're then, just hanging out with their unemployed son.
Just hanging out with the unemployed
yeah.
son. And then went from there home for like, I think I was home for 18 hours and then started workouts and had 5 workouts with teams. Day out, like day to day to day to day.
Like 5 different teams.
5 different places. So flew to Green Bay.
Oh my goodness.
Worked out Green Bay. From there flew to New York. Worked out in New York. Was flying home. Was at my layover and got a call to go to Indy because their punter had just gotten hurt. So went and worked out in Indy. Then the following day went to somewhere or it was the Ravens. It might have been my last stop. And then it was the Ravens. The Ravens signed me. I played the next day. And then flew home the following. So landed there on like a Friday, maybe at like 11 a.m. Worked out at 4 p.m. Went to the team hotel at about 6 p.m. Then played in the game the next day at like 8 o'clock. And then the following day flew home by 10 a.m.
That's so crazy.
That is wild.
So I think people, when they're watching the games or they're fans of the NFL, they have no idea all of the things that are going on behind the scenes like that. So, all right, so, okay, I'm trying to keep track here. That was just two. Two teams that you got signed to, but then five others that you worked out for?
Five others that I worked out for.
So you flew to, met with, kicked for,
mm-hmm.
back on the plane, going somewhere else.
Just rolling.
Absolutely yep. crazy.
Oh,
and so,
my gosh.
And so you played preseason with the Rams. You played, was it with the?
Preseason the Ravens.
Preseason the Ravens.
For the last game.
So then your first actual game during the season was with who?
The Eagles, I think week 6, maybe week 5.
Okay. So here's what I got to know. Because the Eagles are in the Super Bowl mm-hmm. right now. So Eagles go get the dub.
Yep.
Do you get a ring?
I hope so. I don't know.
You don't know if you win?
I don't want to ask yet. They haven't won. When they win, I'll ask.
You just call them up. Hey, yo.
Hey,
Jimmy Eagle.
I'll text Coach Sirianni and I'll say, hey, congrats. Just let me know when the ring ceremony is. And that's all I'm going to leave it as and let him try to tell me.
Okay, so from what I know, I'm pretty sure that anybody that's been on practice squad or anything throughout mm-hmm. the course of the season gets a ring. With you, you actually contributed some like meaningful
yeah, you
minutes
did.
Because what you're probably underselling is that week five, it was in Arizona, correct?
In Arizona, yeah.
Okay, so the Super Bowl this year in Arizona,
mm-hmm.
like Philadelphia Eagles are playing against, who is it?
The Chiefs, yeah.
Kansas City Chiefs. So the last time that the Eagles were in that stadium, mm-hmm. you kicked a game winner.
Oh, yeah.
First game ever.
Yep.
First game of the season, kicked a game winner. All right, at least just give me like what's going through your head? You're like super rookie kid, like new guy
yeah.
on this team. I know you well enough to know that you were super chill, but like walk everybody through what that felt like.
So it was fun. That was obviously the first game. I'd been there for 3 days at the time, so didn't really know anybody other than the specialists. And then showed up for the game, and my first kick at the game, their grass is pretty awful there, and so it's just like newly sodded. It all just rips out. So my very first kick in warm-ups, I just busted my butt and just fell on the ground.
So it's super slippery.
Oh,
yeah,
no.
Just I stepped, no. slipped out, and just was all over the ground. I was like, well,
and they're like, oh,
my
great.
Pants are dirty now.
New guy.
So that was the very first kick of warm-ups.
Everybody's calling
like,
you skid mark on the sideline.
Oh,
like,
my gosh.
I was like, this could be a brutal day. Like, who knows what's going to happen now?
Kick
like,
the
this
slipper.
Is, yeah. And so I was just like, man, this is crazy. And then game time popped around. Everything was going pretty well. Hit my first field goal as a 42-yarder, which was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then the game-winning field goal was like a 23-yarder. So it's shorter than a PAT. And so I was like, oh, this is great. Thank you, guys. And so it just makes me look good because they drive down and make it a pretty reasonable kick. My freshman year, that was my first time playing Kyler Murray.
That's
beat
right.
him on a game-winning field goal, and then that game beat him on a game-winning field goal again.
Kyler Murray does not like you. No. Yeah,
I walked over and I said, "Yeah, this is my house,
dude."
You didn't.
Kyler Murray will not play Call of Duty with Cameron.
No. He will not.
He'll play with anybody else. You don't know half the guys most of the guys on the team at this mm-hmm. point. So that plane ride home had to be pretty fun.
That was a great time. Yeah. No, it's crazy. Yeah, it was just. It's a fun plane ride. It's a good atmosphere. It's funny on different teams, players fly different places on the plane. So at the Eagles, the players fly in the back of the plane and the coaches and stuff are in first class. So me as a new guy, I'm closer up to where the coaches are. So I'm in like comfort plus seating and nice. They're all in the awful seats in the very back. And I'm like, I don't know how you guys think this will win. Like, I'm up here, have a little bit of leg room, and all those, dude, it's like 300-pound O-linemen
have
just like a row of three to themselves, and they can't sit normally, so everybody's sideways just like sprawling out. It's crazy.
Dude, that's so crazy. All right, so at Philly, we're going to put a pin in this for just a second mm-hmm. because we got to do our Super Bowl predictions, but we're going to do it at the end. Mm-hmm. So stay tuned. At the end, we're going to drop our Super Bowl predictions for Chiefs-Eagles, what okay. we think. I'm hoping that the
Wait,
Eagles
you just
win.
Said, why no, are you saying it right
I'm
now?
I'm not saying what my prediction is. I'm just hoping that the Eagles win because I want Cameron to get a win.
That is your prediction then.
It
doesn't have to be.
He could hope that they win, but he thinks somebody else will
totally.
Win.
Totally. I mean, it's Patrick Mahomes. Yeah. So finishing up at Philly. So at some point, you had how many games did you end up playing with Philly?
Just one.
So just
played,
the one game.
Played that game and then stuck around practice squad the next 2.5 weeks.
And then you got the call.
Then I got the call. And, well, then I came home. They cut me. And so I was at home for 3 days and then was going to a Carrie Underwood concert and showing up maybe 5 minutes from leaving Annie's house. And all of a sudden my agent calls. I'm like, oh, man, that's weird. It's like 8 p.m. He says, hey, when can you be at the airport? I said, like an hour.
So, do you like just okay. have a bag packed and ready with your stuff that
well,
you need?
Because I had just come home, I pretty much had all my bags there, but I had more stuff because I didn't know how long I was going to be in Philly, and it was just getting to winter time, and I was like, man, it's going to
be cold. Say, all these different cities, like, you got to have, like, different
like, what time zone am
prepared.
I in? Like,
yeah.
what's the weather like?
Oh my gosh.
You never know if you're going to be signed or not where you show up, so it's kind of like, okay, just be ready, and then got the call and they said, hey, we're going to sign you and it's going to be probably 3-ish weeks until they're healthy again.
And that was a call from who?
From the Chargers.
That was a call from the Chargers.
And then so had my mom bring me to the airport because Annie went to the concert. She still got to go. But mom brought me to the airport and then ended up being there for the whole season.
So that first game that you played with the Chargers, was that Monday Night Football? Or was it Sunday Night Football? Whatever.
It was a midday. It was just a midday one in Atlanta.
Okay.
Because it was the next one against San Francisco and Carrie Underwood.
So, okay. So what I remember is tuning in to watch, mm-hmm. and it was Chris Collingsworth or whoever was calling the game did this huge deal about how you missed the Carrie Underwood concert. Mm-hmm. And Carrie herself actually like made a video. It's like, oh,
for
Cameron,
you. Yeah.
I'm so
That's
sorry
wild.
That you missed the concert. Like next one's on me, come and hang out. But like, so I know that, I mean, that had to be cool.
That was crazy. Yeah. I was rolling into the stadium cause it was already on before like we got in the stadium.
Yeah.
And our long snapper, I'm like walking the locker room. He goes, dude, did you see this? And I was like, what are you talking about? He shows me the video and I was like, I don't even know how to respond. Like, this is awesome.
Oh my gosh.
And so I don't still got to figure out how to make that one work.
But, yeah.
So, all right. So let's recap. We're at mid season here ish. All right. So we've been drafted by the Rams. We've been cut by the Rams. We've tried out for 5 other teams all over the country and gotten no's from all of them. We did get signed by the Ravens at mm-hmm. one point, but that was like, I mean, Justin Tucker's their kicker.
It was a fill-in.
I'm good. So then you get signed by the Eagles. You hit a game winner to keep their undefeated season alive mm-hmm. at that point. You stay on for a couple weeks. You get cut again. You miss a Carrie Underwood concert. You get signed by the Chargers. Is that am I caught up?
You're right there.
Okay, so Cameron and I have a mutual friend that we got to give a shout out to. So Gabriel Lozano, we call him Gabbo. Gabbo's our boy. We love Gabbo. Gabbo tells this story about the first time that you got cut, mm-hmm. and the text message.
Forgot about this.
The text message that he got. So Cameron's playing for the Rams. We're all really pumped because mm-hmm. he's getting his shot in the NFL. It's still preseason. So he texts Gabbo and says, hey, man, I got axed. And Gabbo's response is, dude, that's awesome. That's so crazy. And he was like, yeah, I'm on my way to go meet with the coach or the GM or something right now. He's like, dude, that's so nuts. And so from Gabbo's, I know what axed means. Gabbo does not.
No.
So what he thinks it means is like that joke that you play on your friends in the locker room where you shake up a can of Axe body spray and you toss it in and it just explodes everywhere. So in Gabbo's mind, he was like, if the coaches and GM are axing Cameron, they must really, really like him a lot.
Bless him.
Like, I can't imagine that they would be that playful with him, like, that they would just ax him while he's so the new funny. Guy. Maybe they're hazing him a little bit.
I got axed. And that's awesome.
I mean, congrats, bro. And so, at some point, he figures it out. Or did you, like, hey, I got cut?
I was really confused with his texts. His responses, I was like, man, I don't think you understand. I think I called him because I was like, hey, like, do you know what I'm saying? Like, I was just like, I mean, okay, this guy really didn't want me to be there.
Like, I thought you were my friend.
Yeah, it was so funny. And then it made me think, like, is that not the right way of saying it? And
yeah,
so I asked my parents because I was like, maybe I'm wrong. And they were like, no, I think that's right.
It's a very common saying.
That's what I thought, too.
Oh, man, it was so funny when he was describing that to me.
That's like, hilarious.
I was dying. So yeah. he got axed.
Yeah.
Yeah, but not what he meant. Okay, so
now if you say that to our middle school boys, they would think the axe spray thing probably.
Okay, so I'm just putting this together. What you're saying, you're saying is that Gabbo, our friend, is a middle school boy.
That's not what I'm saying.
I'd agree, though.
All right, so at this point, you've been picked up by the Chargers.
Yep.
You got at least a couple games in a row.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to L.A., you know that you're going to have a couple shots where you're going to be game, like get in the game, be able to contribute, get connected with the team. What's your mindset going into LA? How's it different?
More excited in a way because, you know, you get your chance and then it's kind of taken from you.
Yeah.
And so it's one of those things going to the Eagles. I kind of knew it was going to be maybe 1-2 week kind of thing, but still you get your chance and you kind of get teased a little bit and then it's, oh shoot, everything's taken from you. And then you're back home. And so I think I was just like excited and just kind of ready to take advantage of an opportunity.
Yeah, that's great. Taking advantage of the opportunity, that's huge. And what like makes it feel like home? You get to LA. Mm-hmm. What made you feel like, what are some of the things that made you feel comfortable?
Dudes in the locker room. I mean, I think that's just the biggest part anywhere you go. Other places, it was awesome. Like I had a great time. But here, the specialists were all kind of pushing me off the field more so than on the field. They were all helping me grow on the field. I mean, it was an 11-year veteran at a long snapper, like a dude who knows everything you need to know in the specialist room. But the way they helped me off the field just with my path with God and just kind of learning about my life and just the spiritual path of it all was awesome because, like, JK made me really realize how important it is to, like, know your Bible because he's able to talk to anybody about here's exactly what the Bible says about this scenario. Here's why you should trust in God. And it made me feel comforted. And also I was just like, it's just so cool to have those people like that in your life and to be able to kind of look up to and hope one day you can be like them.
That's so cool, man.
It is cool. It's cool to have people who sort of put things in perspective, right? Like you're playing football and in the NFL. And as great as that is, this guy's like, no, let's talk about God.
Yeah.
Let's talk about what is really important. And all that other stuff will flow out of that.
And I think that makes a big difference to help you understand that the getting cut twice, the five rejections or the teams that you didn't make or the ones that didn't stick, like that helps you recognize that God's purpose and plans for you aren't just for you to be successful on the field.
Yeah.
And so to get there and have guys like that are willing to make like a long-term deposit into who you are, not just what you're doing, that's a big deal.
Yeah.
And so, all right, so they're making that deposit into you. What's success looking like in LA? How's everything going?
So first week, we're showing up at the stadium. This kind of goes back to just the guys in there. I walk into the stadium and JK comes up to me right away when I walk in there. And I'm number 15, he's number 16. And he just comes over to my locker and he's like, hey man, like I know you came to chapel. Like I'm going to assume that you're interested or that you are like a child of God, whatever. And he goes, well, this has been really on my heart. Like God put this on my heart and I thought I'd share because, I mean, it's 15:16, and he was in John, and so it was John 15:16, and it says, "You did not choose me, or you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you." And
bro,
so
come
he,
on.
He came up to me, and he was like, "Whatever you want today, ask for it." And he said, "I want you to like know that when you ask for something, God will give it to you. And so don't be afraid to ask for something that you might be scared of something to happen, but ask for your opportunities and see what happens." And that day I ended up hitting a game winning kick again, and then got special teams player of the week again in my first game with them. So first two games in the NFL, two game winning kicks on opposite conferences, and special teams player of the week in both of them. So I was kind of like, whoa,
dude,
made me slow down for a second and realize like how special it is to have people like that in my life.
That's incredible. And so, all right, so you know what I love so much about that is you talked about the accolades, because mm-hmm. that it matters. You know, you're in one of the really randomly weird professions where you're measured by numbers. Yep. And so frequently people look at you and they measure you based on your stats. Mm-hmm. And so these accolades matter. Your NFC Special Teams Player of the Week, your AFC Special Teams Player of the Week, you end up on the all-rookie team, you know, you're hitting game winners, all these different things. I love how you quantified that as those accolades are actually things that help me recognize that God is moving and God is working. It's yeah. not that I needed those things, but it's more opportunity for me to give him glory mm-hmm. and see that mm-hmm. he's clearly moving, and these are things that I've asked for, and he's up to something.
Yeah.
That's so cool, man.
Yeah, 100%. One of the things we went through in one of our chapels this year was the one JK actually did for the team. So it was the first time our chaplain had somebody on the team give the chapel service before the game. And so JK talked about removing your performance from your life.
Mm.
And so he's talking about how when he was in Green Bay and in college, he said pretty much when he got to the NFL, you'd think like guys at that level, everybody knows what's going on. Like you're all good. There's no issues. But he was like, when I'd have bad games, I'd get home. And for the first 2 days, like I wouldn't be myself. Like I'd be a bad husband to my wife. Like I would let that affect me so much that, I mean, it's just a game. And so to just view it as, I mean, it's just a game. Like
yeah.
there's people, but who cares? And so he was saying this is his first year and this is the most fun he's ever had playing football. Because he was thinking about it in that way. And I was just like, man, it's cool to see people come to that realization and then talk to others about it as well.
That's awesome.
That's great.
Dude, I think the thing that is so striking to me is you've had so many NFL professional football life experiences in the course of 1 year.
Yeah.
So much stuff. A lot of highs, a lot of lows, but it seems that you stay super chill.
Mm-hmm.
It almost not so much chill like you don't care, but chill like you're just so present and so present in the moment. Talk to me about that. What's it mean having all these opportunities and making the most of it?
Yeah, I mean, I think when I was younger and in high school, I didn't really do this as much. High school and early college, it was kind of just wasn't being in the moment. It was kind of like, hey, go out there and perform. And that's how, I mean, that's what sports are a lot of the time. It's you're told, hey, you got to go out there and do, you got to perform, you got to do this. And it's the same way in your work, everywhere you are. And it just so happens that a lot of people are watching me do my thing. And so for a while, I mean, all I focused on was that and didn't enjoy the other parts of it because I would run out on the field, wouldn't look around. I'd be like, all right, it's game time. We're into it, whatever. Wouldn't really pay attention to what's going on. Would just be focusing on me. And then my last year in college, I actually started looking around, seeing just the whole stadium as I'd walk, like run into the game. And it was just like, it just opened my eyes. Like, how cool is this experience? There's so few people that get to experience these things.
Yes.
Like, why let it pass by? And so it was, I don't know. It was just really, really fun to like be in that mindset of things instead of just like, oh, we got to go kick. We got to go do this. Like, goals to make everything, blah, blah, blah. It's like, yeah, the goal is still to make everything. But while I'm not kicking, why stress about it? Why have these issues and like not enjoy this opportunity? And so, I mean, that's just a huge part that I think if I was earlier in life, I wish I would have known that.
Dude, that's a solid wish I would have known. Enjoy every opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
Because the reality is most people will experience something incredible and then they can look back on it and they value it.
Yeah.
But they just miss the opportunity to be able to just value it in the moment. Take a second and just look around. What? So kind of two questions. So first, what clicked to make you want to do that? And then second, the follow-up question is, do you think it made an actual impact in how well you did your job?
What made me realize that, I think, was going through, trying to think about like really how everything's been and trying to think about like, hey, if we've been enjoying this, kind of what's going on, if this is my last year, like what memories do I have from it? And there was a lot that I was like, you know, I can't really think about too many things because it's all just like I would pretty much black out when I got out on the field. Wouldn't really think about much. And so just kind of looking at that and being like, it's kind of crazy that I'm in such a cool experience and just can't really think about much from it. And then also having our like pastor develop player development guy at Texas, Kevin Washington, come up to me. I think it was my sophomore, maybe freshman year. He'd come up to me and just tell me like, I love you regardless of what happens. Mm-hmm. First couple times you're like, oh, thanks dude. Like I appreciate it. But, after kind of diving into God's word and growing more in that aspect of my life, knowing that like he's saying that to me, but there's also God that loves me no matter what happens. Mm-hmm. And I have people in my life, girlfriend, family, that's like, no matter what happens, like I'm loved. So makes me remove myself from my performance and just kind of go out there, enjoy it and enjoy the setting I'm in and just have fun.
That's so good. So there's, sorry. So there's a phrase that I used to use when I was working with professional athletes, and I've adapted that into my parenting. And I think for anybody out there that's got kids that play sports or just anything that they do that that's very performance driven, I would always say, rather than good job or bad job or good job or hey, you did it or whatever, I would say I enjoyed watching you play today, because it doesn't reflect anything about how well you did. This is specifically just about I enjoyed it. I truly enjoyed watching you get to do this. And it paints this beautiful picture of how the creator of the universe looks at us and says that he finds joy in us. He enjoys watching us live this life. And it's not because we're crushing it. It's not because, you know, we're doing something so grand and miraculous that he's like, wow, I can't believe how well you did that. He's just like, hey, I just enjoy you.
He delights in us.
How beautiful that he delights. And so I love that Kevin put that mentality in there for you, that regardless of how well you do, the people around you that love you are still going to love you.
Yeah.
God still loves you. God's still proud of you, but also like he enjoys it. Mm-hmm. And so what a cool thought to think, you know, like let everybody kind of put themselves in this moment. You walk out onto the turf in this giant football stadium and you take a second and you just look around. And at that exact same moment, God is looking at you and just enjoying that you're there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what a cool thought.
Really awesome.
I honestly don't think there can be much better than that. And it doesn't have to be, that's not an exclusive to being a football player. I think you can walk into your office or walk into your home or walk into your school and do the same thing, to just be fully present and say, God, there's so much wonder around me. This is incredible. I'm going to enjoy this and make the most of this. And God's like, I'm just so glad that you're there.
Yeah.
I'm so glad that you're there and you get to do this today. Like that, I think that might be one of those things where if that can trigger something in people's minds, it'll completely revolutionize the way that they approach their life. Let's talk about wins and losses and makes and misses, because you happen to be in one of those really odd professions where, people will say something when you make one and they'll say something when you miss one.
Oh, yeah.
After the ball leaves your foot, there's absolutely nothing you can do to control it.
Yep.
It's been done. It's completed. And now you just stand there and you watch. Mm-hmm. Is it going to go in? Is it going to not? How do you handle the makes and the misses?
I don't know when or why this had happened in my life, but I've always been a pretty level-headed when it comes to my sports. One thing that I've like kind of always told myself is like, you never ride the highs too high and never ride the lows too low.
Mm-hmm.
If you go too high on yourself, you're going to fall really hard. If you go too low, it's really hard to get yourself out. And so, no matter how successful I am at a time and what I'm doing, it's like, it doesn't really matter, because like you said, I can go out there and miss the next kick and everybody's going to think I'm the worst kicker of all time. And so it's just, yeah, it's kind of crazy. So like this year, starting off, it was awesome. Didn't miss a kick until I was at the Raiders and then missed a 52-yard kick. And I was like, eh, okay, like, wish I could have had that one back. Like, wish I would have made that. But I mean, it happens. I knew it's gonna happen at some point, and just when that happens, just I mean, don't really care. You got to go out there and make your next one, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah, and I think God. I mean, God uses the misses just as much as He uses the makes.
Very much so.
Man, maybe even more so.
Yeah.
I think the reality is, if you had made every single kick that you had this entire year, I don't know that anything would have changed in your life for the better, mm-hmm. other than the fact where you're like, hey, I did it. I've achieved this thing. But God uses those misses just as much as He does the makes. And I think the reality is because the plans that we make for ourselves are always the path of least resistance. Yep. We always choose the easy thing.
Right. The ideal plan is to make every kick every time.
Yeah. Obviously, I've worked hard. I want to get signed by a team.
The team the first time.
I'm going to sign my team. I'm going to play that entire year with the team. We're going to win a Super Bowl. Because you had to at least have thought that when you got picked up by the Rams, because they won it the year before.
Oh yeah, and they built their super team again.
Yeah,
so
literally.
I'm sitting there, oh man, this is awesome.
They're like a Madden build a player team.
Yeah,
like it's ridiculous.
It's crazy.
And then everybody gets hurt, and then they're terrible.
Things happen. Yep.
Yeah, things happen. Okay. Yeah.
Welcome to life.
welcome to life. Nothing is wasted in God's economy. Every single thing is useful. And I'm reminded, Andy, actually, your girlfriend Andy reminded me of this awesome statement that we've heard here at the Ridge from Brad, but it's that, you know, it's not just the why. We ask the question, not why did this happen, but what do you want me to do with this? And so when you miss a kick, I think that's been a big part of your mentality for this year. You miss a kick and you're like, all right, God, what do you want to do with this? You know, James chapter 1 says,
count it all joy.
Yeah, count it all joy, my brothers, when you go through trials of many kinds. And it's useful for building of your endurance and building of this relationship with the Lord, because God doesn't just take good things to make something amazing. All right, so best illustration I could ever come up with is like cake, right? Everybody mm-hmm. loves cake. Who doesn't love cake? You don't like cake because you're gluten-free.
I do like cake. I like gluten-free cake.
Wait, you don't like cake?
I don't like cake.
Okay, well, this is a bad illustration for both of you, but I'm going to use it anyway. All right, so these two yahoos don't like cake, but literally everybody else on planet Earth likes cake. In this illustration, I will be using gluten-free flour.
Thank you.
Is that best for you?
Thank you. I can now listen to this illustration.
Okay, great. You're not going to get sick from this illustration. But the reality is, it's like if you enjoy cake, it's something that tastes good. That's because all of the ingredients have been mixed together mm-hmm. and they've been put through heat. Each individual ingredient isn't good by itself. You might say, yeah, I can take a whole bunch of icing and it tastes great. But like to eat a handful of flour, that's gross.
Yep.
Like it tastes terrible. But when you mix all these things together and you put them through something, you put them through some heat, it actually creates something that's really beautiful. And the whole point of that is that God uses these difficult things and these great things. They're useful. They're all useful to make something incredible. And He has the plan of what that's going to be. So in your cake wasn't a Rams colored cake. Right? I mean, that's, see how I just brought that back?
You did. You circled it all back, babe. That's
I mean,
great.
Like,
it was
like
really nice.
Effortless. That I just podcasted really nice. The frick out of that.
That was very nice.
Like, bam. Just see, man, y'all should see Amber's face right now. She's like, that was terrible. That was like the podcast equivalent of a dad joke.
You said a Rams colored cake.
It's, yeah, it's yellow and blue. It's
so
a yellow
Chargers.
And blue.
But so are the Chargers.
Oh, so are the Chargers. See? See, listen, guys.
Nailing it.
God had a plan. He didn't even have to change the colors all that much. Oh, my gosh. That's
just a couple shades.
Just a couple shades. All right, man. I want to give you kind of final word, talking about your faith and this whole year and all the things that you've learned. So you got some folks that are listening to this that kind of have followed you through your career, that are excited that you're on the team, or that they just want to know more about you or what's happening. What do you want them to take away from this? What do you want them to hear from you?
I think importantly, like, God's always got a better plan than we do. I think for me, everybody wants it to be their plan because, I mean, yeah, life's easy. Just like we said, it's just, if everything goes my way, life's awesome. But it's even cooler when God puts the people that He wants to in your life, no matter how hard certain things are for you. And so just having that opportunity was just really cool to kind of go through the hardship of it and then have like a fun, amazing season that I had, and just kind of now being able to look back at it and be like, this is, I mean, I've played on four teams this year. Some guys don't play on four teams in their whole career. And so just getting those opportunities is crazy. And then the other thing is just kind of knowing that you're loved regardless of what happens.
Mm.
And so that's something that I started to really understand a lot when I was in college, but even now more so, just because it's that next level up. So everybody thinks, oh, this is, you're the top guy. You guys all know what's going on. And it's crazy to see how many people struggle with this at that level of, like, if you play bad, if you lose a game in your life, it shouldn't affect you. Mm. But, like, on the field, yeah, you should want to work harder. You don't want to have that feeling again. You don't want to enjoy losing. It should bother you still. But knowing that, okay, this doesn't change how my life is, this just makes me want it more.
That's awesome. So, mm-hmm. Dude, thanks so much for that. I think that's really encouraging. And I'm glad that you've been here. This has been cool. It's been a really cool journey for you this year. It's been fun to watch. And I'm glad I didn't buy a Rams jersey or a Baltimore jersey or a like Eagles jersey. I'm just gonna wait.
It's a good thing. I think Fanatics came out and said if your player changes jerseys, you can get it changed.
Wait, really? What?
Yep.
Oh, that's legit.
That's a wish I would have known. I didn't know
that. A wish I would have known. Now I wish I had all of them.
Yeah.
That'd be so cool.
You keep calling, hey, it's me again.
Hey, it's Clint, Sticker's friend. Hey, he got cut again. What are we going to do? You know how it is.
Can I have a Rams jersey, please?
Yeah. Yeah. Raiders? Yeah, just give me one of each. Just send
give
me one.
One of each.
I'll take one.
Prepared.
All right, we got to make our Super Bowl prediction. Yeah. Okay, so all three of us, we got to make our Super Bowl prediction.
Okay.
So we're going to go team to win and then what the final score is. That's what we're shooting for here.
Oh, you okay. Have to say the final score.
Yep, final score. So I'm going to go first.
Okay.
I'll go first and then to give you guys a little chance to think. All right. I'm going to say that the Eagles are going to win 35-28. 35-28 Eagles. That's my pick. I think Mahomes is going to get some. He's going to have a decent game even though he's hobbled, but I think in the end the Eagles' offensive line is ridiculous. They're gonna get the dub. Eagles win. All right, let's save Cameron for last. So Amber, you're up.
As much as I would love for you to have a Super Bowl ring, I just think Patrick Mahomes with a high ankle sprain. That man went out and played football. You can't keep him down. I think he's scrappy, and I think he's gonna find a way to win. I think it's gonna be like 34-33.
Oh,
Chiefs.
Close.
I think it'll be close, but I think he'll figure it out and they'll pull away.
A barn burner. Patty Mahomes takes it. All right.
It's tough to
All right.
Hear.
So here we go. So Cameron Dicker the kicker. What do you think? Super Bowl prediction.
I'm going to have to go 28-24 Eagles.
Let's go. Fly Eagles fly.
E-A-G-L-E-S Eagles.
Yes. Fly Eagles fly. I love it. And if you get a ring, you got to like we got to post a pic.
Oh, for 100%. Sure.
That's going to happen.
You know what I learned this week? This is a wish I would have known.
What'd you learn?
I learned that the refs get Super Bowl rings.
No, but that's only if they ref for Tom Brady.
No. What?
Because
get Super Bowl rings.
The refs. They get the winner's
They get a ring. If they ref in the Super Bowl, they get a ring.
Does it matter if they did a terrible job?
Now, their ring is not as blingy as everybody else's. It is not like diamonds.
It doesn't have a team on it.
It just says Super Bowl. Yes.
That's kind of cool for them.
Isn't that so neat?
That's cool.
I tried to Google what ref has the most Super Bowl rings because I was like, he's the Tom Brady of refs, you know?
Oh, who is the Tom Brady
I don't
of refs?
Know.
If
somebody out there knows, please let us know.
What's the guy's name? Cleet something. He's the ref that always he's like super swole in his short sleeve shirts and like biceps are bulging out.
I have no idea, but maybe it's him. I don't know. So if you know at wish.podcast on Instagram, let us know.
Let us know. That was a good wish. I would have known. That'd be awesome. Hey, Cameron, this is amazing. Thank you so much for taking the time to do this, man.
Of course. This has been fun.
Yeah, we're grateful. Hey, so for anybody that doesn't already know, like where can people keep up with you and your life? What's the best way to be like, hey, I want an inside look at Dicker the Kicker's life? Where do they do that? Is it the Instagram where you never update? Is it the like what's the spot?
Probably Instagram, Dicker the Kicker, baby.
That's
easy peasy. And I mean, I'm trying to get better, okay?
Yeah. Cameron, thanks so much, man.
Of course.
We're grateful that you're here, and it's going to be an awesome off season for you. Can't wait to see what all God has for you, not only on the field, but off the field too, man. Super proud of you.
Thank you. I appreciate
it. Guys, thanks for listening. We are super excited about the rest of season two, and we're glad that you're here. Make sure to go and follow us on Instagram at wish.podcast.
And we will see you.
You took my line.
I was trying to do it with you. Ready?
No, you took it. No, it's yours now.
We will see you next time. Right?
Go Eagles. Wish I Would Have Known is recorded in the beautiful hill country of Austin, Texas, the live music capital of the world. Follow us on Instagram at wish.podcast and stop by to say hi. We like it when people say hi.